My name is Molly Eggleston, and I work for you, assuring a comprehensive and certified workforce to protect the public's health. I have served as the Deputy Executive Director and the Executive Director of the National Board of Public Health Examiners, and I still am in service to them as a consultant. And I will be presenting today on the psychometric rigors of the Certified in Public Health exam. So with that, I'll go ahead and get started. The National Board of Public Health Examiners created the world's first voluntary standard for public health professionals, the Certified in Public Health, or CPH, credential. The purpose of the National Board of Public Health Examiners and its Certified in Public Health credential is to assess the mastery of knowledge relevant to contemporary public health. And more than 2,500 individuals have successfully become certified in public health since the inaugural credential was offered in August 2008. The blueprint for the content outline for the entrance examination is the Association of Schools of Public Health Masters in Public Health Competency Set, which we'll be talking more about as I move forward. And the CPH examinations to date have met or exceeded all psychometric benchmarks that have been set for it. And it has met all psychometric benchmarks for any kind of high-stakes assessment, and we'll be talking about those in detail as I move forward. The Certified in Public Health credential has become of increasing importance to the field of public health. It has market acceptance in the public health academic sectors and also the U.S. uniformed services. And the performance of the Certified in Public Health exams will be discussed here specifically, creating the body of a unique, validated pool of test questions is a first for public health, and it's value added to the field to have item writers that have been trained in creating rigorous single best answer multiple choice questions to assess the higher order thinking skills of public health professionals. So as I mentioned, I have been staff and am currently a consultant to the National Board of Public Health Examiners. So the Certified in Public Health exam is the first part of the credentialing process. It was created by professionals who began, again, with the Association of Schools of Public Health, Masters in Public Health Competencies, and then expanded and contextualized those competencies based on their experience and expertise. So the exam is simply the gateway to the CPH process. The initial exam acts as a standard benchmark to test candidates' grasp of contemporary public health topics. And this is needed because there is great variability in the curriculum, even among CEF, and that's Council for Education in Public Health, accredited schools and programs of public health. And the Certified in Public Health credential is really about commitment to the field, not just passing one exam. So there is the entrance exam, which we'll be talking about today, and then there is also a maintenance of certification requirement, which requires continuing education, and that's akin to every other professional discipline that has a lifelong learning or continuing education component. So all graduates of CEF, and that's Council for Education in Public Health, accredited schools and programs are eligible to become certified in public health regardless of the degree. So the MPH is the most common degree that we see among applicants. However, PhDs, DRPHs, MHAs, MSPHs, any graduate level degree in public health that's issued from a CEF accredited institution renders one eligible for the Certified in Public Health exam. In August 2010, students were allowed to sit for the first exam in a pilot test, so long as they had met a certain number of hours. The pilot test concluded that students performed as well on the exam as alumni who had completed the entire degree track, and so student eligibility was made permanent in 2012, and that moves forward. So in a credentialing strategy, the eligibility criteria must be set so that it's a reasonable expectation that eligible candidates will be successful on the examination. And since many of the CEF-accredited schools voluntarily adopt the ASPH Masters in Public Health Competency documents to base their curriculum, it's therefore reasonable to expect that folks who are prepared through those institutions using the ASPH Masters in Public Health Competency documents will be successful on an examination that uses that competency set as the blueprint for the content outline. So the National Board of Public Health Examiners contracted with the National Board of Medical Examiners for the development, administration, and evaluation of the Certified in Public Health exams from August 2008 to February 2012. The National Board of Medical Examiners' long history of test development and evaluation of the health professions was an asset to this relationship, and also the NBME's mission, which is to protect the health of the public through state-of-the-art assessment of health professionals, complements the purpose of the National Board of Public Health Examiners. So the NBME and the NBPHE work together very closely with voluntary content experts and masters and folks who are really expert in the field, as well as the staff from the NBME, collaborated very closely for the first 2 years in order to offer the very first certified in public health examination in August 2008. The NBME has performed item writing and editing and various quality assurance procedures to assure that we have a rigorous and valid item bank, and also to make sure that the items are, again, addressing the critical thinking and decision-making skills of candidates, not just factual recall. The National Board of Medical Examiners has done an ongoing analysis of the item bank and the maintenance of the item pool to inform item writing assignments and to assure that we have a distribution across the domains that are tested on the exam. We'll talk about those domains, to talk about different item types, and to ensure sufficient items to prevent overuse as we offer the exam now twice a year. So the National Board of Medical Examiners has really been an essential partner as the CPH exam has been developed and launched, and it has assured that we have a rigorous process and that we have rigorous results. I've mentioned several times that the exam is based on the ASPH Master's in Public Health Competency Set, and you'll see on the screen the five core areas and the seven cross-cutting areas that are tested on the entrance exam and also are required to be met in any continuing education activity for certification. So a well-defined content outline is an essential foundation for developing a robust examination that measures our desired content. And in order to appropriately test knowledge of the core public health and cross-cutting competencies, the NBPHE selected content experts to create an examination content outline based on this ASPH Master's in Public Health Competency Set. And the content outline provides the framework for writing the 200 test items for each exam administration, and that reflect the diversity of the field and the key knowledge necessary for contemporary public health. Questions are also added in other areas as indicated by the National Board of Public Health Examiners, so we've really been focusing on making sure that our questions are applicable to a global context, and we have also added questions related to the preventable causes of death, and also to, again, making sure that our questions are on the context that can be related to from folks everywhere, since the CPH exam is available all over the world and people take it, become certified, and go back and practice all over the world. The biostatistics among the core, among all of the core and cross-cutting domains, biostatistics tends to be the most challenging domain for examinees from administration to administration. Otherwise, it sort of depends on the exam form and the cohort that's completing that exam. The one consistent piece is that biostatistics does tend to be the most challenging across administrations. And please do keep in mind that since this is foundational knowledge and higher order thinking skills, this is not a math test. Calculators are completely banned and have been disabled from the computer when people take the CPH exam. So it's not about whether or not you can add or multiply or do basic math. It's about whether or not you know what statistic to use in a certain situation, or whether or not you can interpret the results of a test, or whether or not you can look at some kind of scatter plot or graph and, you know, make an interpretation about what's going on there. So in terms of our item writers, each exam is developed by volunteer item writers. They represent a diverse range of academic background, practice experience, and demographic characteristics. And selection is competitive, even though it's voluntary, because it is competitive based on the item writers' areas of expertise from the domains, based on the gaps that have been identified in the item pool. So some years we need to write social and behavioral health sciences questions, other years we need to write leadership and epidemiology questions. And so based on the training and the quality assurance processes that are facilitated by the National Board of Medical Examiners, a final examination form is readied with 200 multiple choice questions. The Certified in Public Health exam is a proctored, computer-based examination. Candidates are required to answer each one of the 200 items on each examination form. The NBPHE has created a new examination form for every administration And the NBME initially proposed a draft examination based on the content outline, which included a designated number from each of the five core areas and the seven cross-cutting areas. And selection was made possible by a classification system that the NBME put into place so they would code an item, whether it was basic epidemiology or whether it was health policy and leadership or whether it was addressing one of the preventable causes of death. And so that allowed us, again, to sort of monitor the pool of items. And the NBPHE Form Review Committee, which was a subset of about six item writers, would go ahead and review the form and make sure that it addressed the necessary competency areas. They would substitute any items from the bank to assure appropriate content representation. And they reviewed each individual item of the 200 items for relevancy, difficulty, and clarity. So, as I've mentioned, this is a 200-item, single best answer, multiple-choice examination, computer-based, proctored. The examination is offered all over the world. It is offered in English only. And the National Board of Public Health Examiners opted to use the very first examination in August of 2008 as the baseline for assessing exam reliability and future scoring. And this was based on the recommendation of the National Board of Medical Examiners not to pre-test items for a variety of reasons. Exposure and security, and also how reliable it is when you've got volunteers who aren't doing this for any high stakes. So each exam item is fresh on the 200 item, not each item, but many items of the 200 items are fresh on each examination form. And then afterwards, we do an item analysis and a key validation to make sure that the items are good and they can stay live in the item bank. And we'll talk more about that next. So in terms of the scoring, the National Board of Medical Examiners did conduct an item analysis on each of the 200 items after each exam administration. And basically, they were looking for any items that performed unusually. So if everybody got it right, or everybody got it wrong, or only the epi majors got it right and everybody else got it wrong, then it was flagged for further review. And we would make sure that it performed adequately. It might be flagged for rewrite. It might be flagged for omission from final scoring. It might be left in for final scoring. Again, we're looking for items that addressed foundational knowledge, sort of minimum spec knowledge of the core and cross-cutting areas. So you don't need 3 years of biostatistics in order to pass the certified and public health exam. We would also do a key validation, which was to make sure that every item was, the key was correct, so that we really had keyed in the right answer for each item, and that the item was a strong item, that it had an appropriate stem, and that it wasn't misleading, that it wasn't confusing. And very rarely would we ever change the key. Usually we had the right answer the first time, as one would hope. We also would do equating with the National Board of Medical Examiners. And since percent correct scores are influenced by both the difficulty of the items and the proficiency of the cohort taking that exam form, they can't be meaningfully compared across administrations. So we would equate. And equating is a statistical procedure that adjusts for differences in test form difficulty so that scores on different forms can be compared across years. So CPH exam scores have been equated after every administration, and standard scores are reported to examinees that are comparable across administrations. And it allows us to see from administration to administration how folks are doing on an equally difficult national standard. And some of that data is shared back with deans and directors of those CEEP-accredited schools and programs, so they get some feedback on how their students and alumni are performing on a national standard. And then the standard setting, or the cut score, is a decision that is made after every administration by a select and elite group of volunteers that includes some item writers and also some domain content experts and subject matter experts. And every 3 to 5 years, the NBPHE conducts a content-based standard setting study to determine the minimum passing score. So the actual minimum passing score can vary from year to year. However, it's equivalent or equatable or comparable from administration to administration. Also, a very common question that I hear, particularly since students have been eligible, is what do I need to get right? What's the passing score? And I can't tell that in advance because I don't know First of all, ideally I'm scoring out of 200 items, but if the item analysis and the key validation throws out three items, then now I'm only scoring out of 197, so I can't really tell you a numerator if I don't know the denominator. So instead, what I tend to tell folks is what the average pass rates are. So with the pass rates hovering around 85%, I try to assure people that statistics are in their favor and most candidates are successful on first attempt at the certified in public health exam. So here are the psychometrics of the certified in public health exam, which I mentioned has met or exceeded all benchmarks set for an exam like it and other high-stakes assessments. So based on the about 2,500 candidates since the August 2008 exam, we do have robust statistical data showing that the CPH exam meets all standards that have been set for it. The mean item discrimination is an indicator that the test does a good job distinguishing between high and low scoring examinees. We do expect that overall high scorers on the exam will perform well on each particular item, and that overall low scorers will not perform as well on each particular item. I will remind you that the CPH exam is scored overall as certified or not certified, so it's not like you're certified A, certified B, certified high. You're either certified or you're not certified. And based on these psychometrics, we know and we conclude that the certified in public health exam is an accurate measure of minimum competencies, again, minimum spec knowledge of the foundational sciences of public health. So in summary, what I would say is that with a valid and reliable examination and a robust item bank in place, the NBPHE has been able to focus on other things, like working with schools and programs to increase acceptance and the flooding the marketplace, if you will, filling the pipelines of the next generation of public health professionals with folks who are both academically prepared and professionally credentialed in public health. And we have been working to expand the administrations of the certified in public health exam. So for the very first time, the exam was offered to administrations in 2012. We will do so moving forward with exams offered in February and October. And we have, as I mentioned, been able to expand the eligibility criteria based on a test to allow students, at upper level advanced students at CEF accredited schools and programs to complete the entrance examination and become certified in public health upon completion of their graduation requirements. So with that, I thank you for your time, and I will return to our moderator or the next presenter as appropriate. Thank you.